Ladies and gentlemen, our next session is on aligning development and project management with IT ops using best practice and Service Manager 2012. We will have two speakers for this session, Chris Ross, Director of Program Management at Cyrosun and a two-time recipient of the Elite Microsoft Most Valuable Professionals Award for Cloud and Data Center Management, and Pete Zerger, Principal Program Manager at Cyrosun and a nine-time Microsoft MVP. Everyone, please give a round of applause to Chris Ross and Pete Zerger.
Thank you.
Thanks very much. Are we faded into, there we go.
Yeah, we are. So,
excellent introduction that's never happened before. For our first trip to Asia. So thanks very much. So let's get right down to it. I know it's late in the afternoon. We're on day two. Everybody, your heads are a little bit overflowing, I bet. Yeah. So today we're going to talk to you about, DevOps is something that's going to come up, right? But we really want to talk to you about a holistic approach to connecting your development organization to your IT operations organization. And we're going to talk you through that in the context of some real world experience. Chris and I have been around a long time. We've both worked in large organizations and encountered some of the problems we'll talk to you about firsthand. So we'll try to share as many relevant details, lots of demonstration. I expect we'll probably run right up against the end of our time. So we're 30 hours from home by plane and nowhere else to be, so we're happy to take questions after, as late as you wish.
Cool.
Wow.
So I'd like to start off with a little bit of a fun theme, thank you, sir, and wrapping the Star Wars theme into play here was kind of fun because I feel like a lot of times in business, IT, and operations, a lot of times clash. And I wanted to highlight that, for everybody so that you can understand some of the challenges that we've certainly seen in our career. And detail really what those challenges are so that we can understand how, at a later state, we can fix that. So business management, in general, is made up of lots of different silos within an organization, of course. So you've got everything from your PMO, your project management office, to IT, development, HR, and then probably tens, if not dozens, of other business units that all have an impact on delivering objectives for the organization. So PMO is all about aligning the enterprise to the projects that the business says are important, right? We want to roll out a new ERP system. We want to do, some fancy new e-commerce thing. That's great. We need the PMO to be able to set that up, schedule it, and get it in place so the right members are collaborating on the effort, and that's happening seamlessly. In IT, of course, we're probably seen, and I assume most people here are IT people, right? We're probably seen as, I like to think, the heroes. But really at the end of the day, we're keeping the ship running. We're keeping it afloat. And we need to be able to be agile and respond to the business needs at the drop of a dime. But we also want to be proactive. And we want to be equipped with the tools that allow us to think forward, to think ahead, not just beyond today, right? Development is a great platform, a great team within organizations. It creates the opportunity to bring new services, new business objectives to life through custom development, but they're often very much hidden from the rest of IT or the rest of an organization. And this was my favorite putting on here, HR. I like to pick on HR, but don't mess with them. They're the ones that actually get our paychecks to us, right? So we want to keep them happy. We want to enable them. But they've got their own processes. They've got their own sets of issues and complications to deal with on a daily basis. And then the others that are out there, I see this frequently. Things like security. So security office, while that is very much aligned to IT, it's very separate as well. They have their own objectives. They're doing their own, it could be audits or compliance or things of that nature, but it's very important to be aware of exactly what they have going on so that IT can respond before security has to come and tell us that something is wrong, right? So all those business units together, you know, encompass the enterprise. And it may be, a very small organization or a large, it doesn't matter. These people are within the organization and they need help. They need to be able to work with us. So just to dive a little bit deeper, there's a whole different set of management tools across this entire space. So with the PMO, we've got things like Microsoft Project Server. We've got even third-party applications like Basecamp, or the two that I laid out. And Basecamp's a very project server feel, right? But it's yet an information area where the PMO sits and does their day-to-day operations. In IT, we've got things like Service Manager. We need to be able to intake tickets. We need to be able to track those, perform against SLAs or SLOs. And in turn, whether it's a break fix, restoring a service back to its natural state, or it's a request, a feature request, or a new project, we need to be able to have a spot to manage that information. Development, of course, these guys can be all over the place. Some developers don't like to work in a tool. Some developers like to use tools like TFS, Team Foundation Server, or Visual Studio online. So the idea is everybody's got their own set of tools. HR, there's a myriad out there. There's none from Microsoft, per se. And then any other number of systems are readily available to help different business organizational units do their day-to-day work.
Wow, so there were two things that stuck out to me in there. When he was describing IT pros, he said, I like to think of us as heroes. I rarely remember hearing heroes and IT ops in the same discussion. I did like that bit I saw. You were talking nice. Development being a set of rogue individuals. I noticed your criticism was buried in there. So let's talk about the center of operations for the folks in this room. So is there anybody in here who's not adopted System Center in some form? We have SCCM, we have SCOM, we're 100% in, right? System Center will do a lot of different things, from deployment to backup and recovery to application and infrastructure monitoring. Chris and I spend a lot of time with the orchestration components, Orchestrator and SMA, that give us an underlying layer of automation, which is actually really, really important to this this DevOps, this connecting discussion. As is Service Manager, which is really how we implement ITIL or ITSM or whatever your process is. It all starts with a CMDB. So with System Center, if you've deployed Config Manager, maybe you've deployed Config Man plus Ops Manager. If we extend into Service Manager, we're now implementing a whole new layer of integration, a very hands-free automated integration. How many Service Manager shops do we have out here today? Who has Service Manager deployed? Are we literally zero? James, you don't count, right? So for all of you that own System Center and you haven't deployed Service Manager, you have a huge opportunity because you actually own a very, very powerful tool, and the licensing is more or less free for you. So you're talking about $1 million opportunity here. With Service Manager, I can now automatically connect into my other System Center components. SCCM, for example, I can bring in my computers, my printers, my hardware and software inventory, and I can consume that. And all I have to do to leverage that sort of integration is run a wizard. It takes less than 5 minutes. Operations Manager is going to give us application information. Active Directory, pulling in all of our security, which System Center just builds on. And Service Manager is no exception. As I try to craft that common view into my applications, my infrastructure, my projects, my process. All of this bottom layer you're seeing here more or less comes at no additional charge when we set up those connectors. Third-party tools like Cyrus and the company we work for extend System Center to build on that foundation. And you have more than 150 partners out there in the System Center Alliance, so there's a lot going on there in terms of augmentation of the System Center stack to make things easier for you. So let's talk about automation for a moment. And we may ask ourselves, well, what does automation have to do with the DevOps discussion? It's actually very, very important. So my first DevOps encounter in a Fortune 1000 company was back in 2005, right before DevOps was actually invented. And there was a conference room full of people, and the developers were on one side, and IT Ops was on the other. And at the end of the table was the CIO. And the argument was, from the development side, we'd like to deploy twice a week. And from the ops side, well, we only want to deploy once a week. I've worked with customers that deploy 10 times a day now, so the discussion is much, much different. With DevOps, one of the fundamental principles of DevOps is continuous deployment. So if we can't automate the same deployment activities in a very reliable, very hands-free way, the wheels are going to come off of the cart. It's just the way it's going to be. So automation, absolutely key. Let's talk about designing the experience. So in terms of experience, you're going to have developers who might be lightly virtualization aware. They may be C# programmers and they don't really work with databases. We have to craft an experience that is intuitive to our audience, right? And that typically means we're going to have to sit down with the folks who are going to be sitting at the console going to our portal to request some sort of resource, and we need to make sure we craft an experience that allows them to request what they need without the need for us to train them again and again and again. Taking on that sort of testing task is actually really, really straightforward. What it typically means is we're going to go to that individual and we're going to sit down at a computer with them and say, okay, here's what I've crafted for you. Request a database, for example. And they're going to be able to do that without my help, or they're not. And really, that's going to be my bar for success. So designing this experience in a way that people will actually use the tool is really, really important, because at the end of the day, we know two things. People are going to use processes that are intuitive, that are easy, that don't get in their way, right? And if we make something that's difficult, requires them to pick up the phone, et cetera, then they're going to go around us. Chris and I have both experienced organizations where, IT ops got in the way of the development team and dev goes around, and, they have Amazon accounts, they have Azure accounts. Cloud's great. Cloud is better when we all know about it and we're managing it, right? So it kind of depends on your perspective and how you get there. And in terms of controls, at the end of the day, we want to make sure that this experience allows us to capture key information about that asset so we can manage its life cycle. Deploying resources, giving people access to virtual machines, databases, insert resources here is great. At the end of the day, we need to have some controls in place to make sure we can account for the cost, that we can clean that up. And if we enable sprawl but don't enable the controls to keep that under control, to keep that in check, we're just going to be in a really bad state. So let's hop over to my console and have a look at Orchestrator for a moment. How many of you in here have System Center Orchestrator deployed in your environment? Do we have anybody using orchestration? Okay, so a couple of folks. I'm actually kind of surprised by that. I would say I probably see about 50% hands go up when I'm in North America or Europe. So I think we have a fantastic opportunity in here to take on that automation component. So when we think about a self-service offering, I'm going to show you an offering in the Cyrus and portal here. This could just as easily be the native service manager portal. But I want to talk to you about that user experience, and then I want to get behind the scenes and talk about the automation we put together. So at the end of the day, I wanted to provision a new SQL database, something my DBAs want to do. something my DBAs want done. And they want control of, but they don't necessarily have time to do it themselves. So my developers are great C# developers, and as database administrators, they're C# developers. So I want to talk to my database administrators and deal with all the technical aspects of deploying SQL with them, and I'm going to automate that process one time. So I'm going to implement database deployment in a way that's acceptable to my DBAs, that's intuitive to my developers, and that I have the controls I need in place in the middle. So for example, I can do the request on behalf of, so let's assume that maybe sometimes I'm requesting something for another DBA or for another developer. I'll give this database a name. I'm going to ask for a database size, and then I'm going to get into some aspects of where I'm going to deploy this database. So I'll ask my developer, are we going to deploy to dev or test or prod? You know, start to give me some information about what you're up to. So let's say we're going to dev. I can ask them questions like expected load. I could ask them questions like, do you need SQL 2008 or 2012? Whatever controls, classes of service that I want to put into place. That's what I want to do. But you notice I'm using lots of drop downs here. So clear text, giving people free text fields where they can type things gives people opportunities to make mistakes. So building good, sustainable automation is all about developing class as a service. So I've given my developer some pretty straightforward decisions here. Tell me where you'd like to deploy this database, dev, test, prod. Tell me if this is a low or high traffic database. I can ask them about availability. So is this something that needs to be redundant, in which case I might go ahead and deploy to deploy out to a cluster, for example. So at that point, that's all my DBAs had to do to deploy a database. So in the background, that process is off and running. Service Manager has decision points where we can request approval, for example. So if you didn't want to just allow a developer to deploy a database to production, we could have an approval process in there. So that goes to one person, four people. Sometimes we'll put an approval in there and we'll mark it automatic just so we have a record that we all agreed that this is going to be an automatically approved process. So I'll show you here quickly a runbook and orchestrator. So what I have here is a drag and drop UI where I can drag and drop activities that will perform different tasks. So all I'm doing here is creating a database in test, dev, and production based on my user's selection. So I've got some criteria in here. I'm sending an email at the end, so the user, when the database is deployed, actually gets an email to say, hello, your database is ready, here's how you connect. So we're closing that loop. Automation is going to automate the task reliably for me, but it's also going to close the communication loop with my audience. I don't want to automate a task in a way that leaves my requester wondering what the result of that task is. So automation that creates more questions than answers is not a very effective solution at all. What I love about Orchestrator is there's a huge community as well. So this runbook, I'd love to tell you that I built that. I actually went and downloaded that from a friend of mine at Microsoft. So he put it out there on the TechNet gallery. There are literally hundreds of runbooks out there scattered across the Microsoft website, the gallery, the internet, et cetera. So for those of you that haven't looked at the Microsoft automation components, huge opportunity to begin to develop that agility in your deployment processes to start to close that gap between dev and ops.
No, it's you.
It's still me.
Yes.
I'm talking.
We'd love to hear you.
I'm talking forever. I feel like the Star Wars theme is kind of mandatory when we come to System Center Universe, isn't it? Now, let's talk about, let's go back to that day in 2005 where we're sitting around that table. The challenge we were talking about is exactly what you see on the screen here. We were in this room because we had tested that deploy twice a week process, and our production website did something like what you see on the right-hand side of my screen. The vice president of marketing picked up the phone and called somebody and said, hey, we're losing a lot of money because our corporate website is down. People can't order things. Development was pointing at ops. I can remember one of my better friends at the time saying something that was very insulting, and we didn't talk for a few weeks after this meeting. But we had a fundamental challenge here that the developers would do their work. We didn't really know quite what they were doing, frankly. They were getting their work done, and then at some point they would say, okay, we're ready to deploy, and we would have to trust that this was ready, it was tested, and we'd have to deploy it. And if it blew up, you know, now we have a problem because we're not quite sure what tools they're using. Yeah, I knew they used Visual Studio. Source control, no idea. How did that testing work? Not exactly sure. But now there's all sorts of finger pointing. You don't see the network team on here. So when Dev and Ops blamed one another and they each thought they were right, there was actually a network team. There was a third person in the room we could point at as well and pass some blame. So, you know, there's really a lot of challenges involved. One of the things I remember is some developers take matters into their own hands. We actually discovered there was an entire web farm under some guy's desk a floor down from us, and they were doing a lot of their dev right there. They had source code on some servers, which incidentally could be dual booted so they could play Quake when other people were out of the office. That was great around the holidays when we were all there by ourselves. But at the end of the day, we found that we had one very good monitoring system. It's called the CEO, who would sit at his desk hitting refresh. When we're having these operational challenges, every time we deployed, the CEO is sitting there refreshing. And I always know the first call I'm going to get, System Center is not going to tell me any faster than the CEO, because the CEO has a 0 second lag, right? He's pressing the button. And there is nothing worse. You know, we would get notified. My notification actually came in the form of the CEO calling my desk because I was the monitoring guy. So thanks very much. That's exactly how it winds up when we have that sort of challenge, right? It's that ugly. It's funny that my real life is actually was actually uglier than what we do here. But we get into the war room and we have that discussion. You know, we deployed your code and it blew up. Well, it worked in QA. You guys must be doing something wrong. There was actually somebody in our organization promoted because he was slow to blame other people. That someone was actually me. They went to the other team and said, okay, who do you want to work with? And they picked the least distasteful of the lot. Well, he doesn't blame us as much as the other people. So the fact that I didn't point the finger fast enough was great, but I can remember this being a real problem. But the fact is, you know, when we're having that two deployments a week or 10 deployments a day versus 5 deployments a day, agility in this case is really necessary, because at the end of the day, what developers are doing are driving requests that are coming from marketing, from sales. They're the profit center, right? As IT ops, we're not making anybody any money. So we need to be able to do our job better, faster, more efficiently, and with a common vision for what's going on. So all of what I've described here actually could be summed up in one word. At the end of the day, and Chris showed you the tools, right? He showed you Project Server and Visual Studio and System Center. At the end of the day, we're all looking at our own vision of what's going on, right? And my silo is different than your silo is different than your silo, and the problem is visibility. We don't have a common vision for what's going on in the environment, and that's what we really have to, it's a gap we have to bridge, right? Between ops, between dev, and between all of those other personas out there, if it's security, an application owner, an end user, we have to get on the same sheet of music. And it starts with people. It starts with establishing a culture, which is not easy. So if you're not using automation today, automation can be scary, right? Not everything can be automated. We want to be careful about what we're automating and make smart decisions. But we have to define a culture where we move forward with a common set of goals. So if one of us fails, we all fail, right? It can't be a dev versus ops blame game where this all breaks down. So in our organization, that's actually what we did. We sat down and looked at integration, and the tools were different then. You know, frankly, we were writing, we were just getting started in .NET 1.1, if memory serves. We were using MOM and VBScript, and the technologies are all going to change. At the end of the day, the technologies then are different than what we're using now, which are different than what we're going to be using 5 years from now in some respects, but the process is the same. So we established that common objective moving forward. We started looking at our processes, so we started talking about things like project management. Agile comes in. Chris is going to talk to you a lot about Agile as a development methodology. And we started looking at tools. And we started specifically looking at tools that would allow us to integrate what the developers were working on with what ops was doing to monitor, manage, deploy, and what our application owners were using to request features, to request resources, et cetera. We started that process of taking our tools and building integration between those tools. Chris is going to show you a really compelling example of that today. Again, that's going to differ as we move forward over time.
So let's talk a little bit about the business divide. And the business divide is really this. We've got those business units that we talked about earlier, IT, development, operations, or project management. And it doesn't matter whether you're in a large company, a small company, you're on the Death Star, and you've got a really angry boss. If you're not working together, then you're really working against each other. So keeping that in mind, I want to introduce a theme called service management to you. So service management is really all about crossing organizational boundaries, providing resources in an easily extensible, automated, and integrated fashion. So these things that you see like incident and problem management, service request and automation, asset information or knowledge information are all critical aspects to every business unit within the organization. And providing a service management interface where people can come and consume these services or partake in accessing knowledge across different boundaries is very, very important. Oops, did I scroll one too fast? No, I didn't. Cool. So the vision, a new hope for tomorrow, is that we can align our organizations in such a way that we don't have those siloed individual business units or siloed information areas even, and start to do things in a fashion that's much more intelligent, that's transparent, and provides the highest amount of communication. So in development, there's four steps that we look for, capturing bugs or features or other requests like that, pulling that into the system and prioritizing that work, establishing a backlog, which is, we understand that we can't do everything for everybody today, right? So setting that backlog and communicating when you're going to be working through a particular, again, feature or problem or bug or whatever the case may be, but having some type of transparent communications there is vital. And project management has even a little bit more going on, right? Because we have not only our standard process, we have all of our projects that we're managing. Of course, we need to be open and resilient to change. Change should be, for a lack of a better expression, accepted, welcomed in the organization, because you never start a project knowing what the end result is going to be without encountering some change in the middle. So change is critical. Knowledge, and of course sharing that knowledge, is critical as well. You're going to learn things on these projects. They're going to need to be communicated out and provided in a resource where people can easily access that. And then lastly, of course, with any project or anything that we do, we have resources. We need to align those resources in such a way that, it's all about think about a big monolithic project. And if you have 100 resources doing 100 different things, the orchestration of that is very difficult, right? But if you have clear communication and visibility into the project, somebody will know when it's their turn to step in and do their part.
It's funny that we call them resources. At the end of the day, you're talking about orchestrating people, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So we talk about our ideal process interactions. And what happens today is we have our end users. could be anybody. It could be IT operations. It could be somebody in finance. It could be my boss. Whoever that is, end users come in, and they reach out to people like developers and project managers, and they say, hey, you know, how's this project going? You're working on the new feature, right? You know, where is that at? How far along are you? What's the release date? All that information is critical, and it's siloed. So these individuals are using their systems to manage that, and that's great. We want them in their tools where they feel comfortable and where they're most efficient. Well, the problem is, that we actually have to go out and talk or send an email or an instant message or a text message. That's how I get Pete a lot. Hey, need some
help? I don't like to talk to people. Send me a text.
So we have to talk, and then they have to use their system to pull that information back. Well, in a service management world, we should be able to fulfill these information requests ourselves or work in such a way that we're propagating the overall goal. And we can do that through a self-service portal. So in a perfect world situation, the end user goes out to the self-service portal. They look at the project or whatever it is, and they determine that, oh, this is where it's at. This is what's happening. So in this case, we're talking about the center of our IT operational world, which we showed you a little bit ago, service manager, providing that core information in the CMDB, and pumping that back out to our end user. Well, we still have silos, right? We need to bridge these silos, both to the development tool in TFS or Visual Studio Online, or the project management tool in Project Server. So now we've got a really comprehensive set of information coming into one area, but let's take it a step further. What if our project manager needs information from that developer? Well, again, he can come directly into the system through a self-service portal, through a service management perspective, and pull that information back, see what the status is, and what's impending or coming up in the near term. So that's really an integrated story between multiple sets of tools and providing a single interface for people to get in and work with information or fulfill their specific requests.
It all sounds so easy when you say it like that.
Well, thank you. It should be easy, and that's the thing. So here, we want to demo and show you what this interaction looks like from the project management side down to that end user. Oops, wrong one. All right, so here we are. This is Service Manager, Microsoft Service Manager. Service Manager is our ticketing system, or CMDB, and it also helps run our IT processes, incident, problem, change, service request. Well, in this case, I want to start a whole new project up, and my project is going to be geared around something that's very common for IT, but sometimes takes resources from other groups, and that's, let's take patch updates on a monthly basis, right? So I can come down, select create a new project, and I'm actually I'm going to do a project for our BEZ infrastructure, our BlackBerry Enterprise servers, and I simply need to fill out my form. So I'll say BEZ, there we go, we got our monthly patching, reason, security, whatever the case may be. I can fill out a myriad of different information here, even down into the area. So we'll say this is infrastructure. We can set our priority and impacts. We're capturing all this great information that everybody needs to know. It's a standard impact because it's a standard change, and risk, we'll say not assessed at the moment. But here comes the fun part. So we have an activity tree, if you will, a workflow that we've set up in this particular template. Everything in Service Manager is really templatized. I know that's not a word, but I said it, so it's a word today. So we set up our process, exactly what needs to happen and when it needs to happen. And here I've got two steps, a review. Somebody has to look at this and say, yes, good to go. And then I have what's called a dependent activity, and that dependent activity is simply in this process going to kick back and wait, which is fantastic. That's exactly what I want it to do. Thank you. So in that respect, it's a very simple process, but no problem, no worries. Let's come in here and let's make a relationship. Everything in our CMDB is a relationship. And I am going to pick on projects.
How many SCCM users do we have out there? Show me some hands, right? All of this information you see here, flowing from our native System Center tool, so free.
So I'm going to choose my BES maintenance release, and I simply add that, and that's created a relationship. This is very important for things like reporting and auditing, things of that nature. But here's the great thing. Since I know about my project, I can actually double-click on it and pull back information from that third-party system, from Microsoft Project Server. So I've got the title of my project, when it was created, when its start and end dates are scheduled, the percent complete, and we see that there are tasks associated, right? Like any project has numerous tasks. We've got those pulled in, and we can actually see ones that are complete and ones that are pending and things of that nature. What's even cooler is I can link directly into that project site. So if I'm an IT ops guy, and I am by nature, I'm sitting down at my computer working in my system, now I've got a direct link to that other system. So if I wanted to go out and file an issue or a risk or something to that effect, I could do so directly from this interface without needing to look up the SharePoint site and figure out where this thing is stored. So it's all in hand, which is fantastic.
So Chris, tell us where this fantastic integration is coming from. So a service manager doing this by itself?
Through the use of a connector, we're hooking up to Microsoft Project Server, and then the projects that we deem are worthy to be over here are published, and we sync all that data over and display it within the native interface and CMDB. So we've got our project set up here as a change, which is very common. But let's say, we need to orchestrate our change a little bit better. This is where what is called release management comes into play. Release management allows us to do, any developers in the room? Anybody familiar with SDLC or any of those processes? So the software development lifecycle is a process. Release management follows that pretty well. It actually follows it very well. And we can piggyback off of the kind of tried and true history of release management here to create a release cycle. Sorry, I don't know how that happened. Go back here. So we'll create our release record. I've got a project release record that's a template, again. And we'll just fill this out. I'm not going to fill out all the information just for time, but here we go. We've got a simple two-step process right now, a manual activity and a review activity. The nice thing is I can link this review to our change. So here's my change, and I've got that dependent activity. That's exactly what that dependent activity is doing, is waiting for a link from another process. So I can link it just like that, as easy as that, and say OK. Now what's going to happen in the background is our connector is constantly looking for changes between these processes and that link relationship to take effect. What it then does is says, okay, since we've got project out there and we've got all these activities that are being managed there, let's bring those in and show that within our process window of our release. So with very little effort, and we'll see how quickly, let me organize this a little bit better. Make sure this is the right one. There we go, that's our BES update. So with very little effort, and hopefully time is on my side. Oh, sorry. I keep forgetting to kick the run button. Okay. There we go. We'll give it a few seconds. So that kicking that release off will initiate the sync. And behind the scenes, all those activities will be imported into our process that was baked into the release. So I could have had two steps like you saw, or I could have 50, it doesn't matter. But let's see, I'll give it just another moment.
And if you had 2 or you had 50, you know, when we think about automation, if he had 50, let's say we get down into the deep end of the pool, you know, notification when it comes your time to perform your activity is going to be very, very important. Service Manager has another connector into Exchange, so we could actually, at an activity level, when your time comes to perform an activity in the process, we can drive that notification out to your inbox so you know it's time to go. How are we doing there?
We'll give it another second. We'll see. So I have this set up to run every minute. I may have caught it just right at the tail end.
Gotcha.
There we go. So we've integrated with our project management software. We've brought in all those project tasks. And note that some of these are already completed. The little green checkbox indicates that, hey, that's been done. We saw on the project itself there was 61% complete. Well, that's our 61% right there. It's all complete. And now we've got a handful of other tasks, as well as there's that very first task right at the top, that manual activity for a release analysis that somebody needs to go do. So that person can pick that activity up. That it's a task, really. They need to perform some work, complete that, and progress this all the way through. Let's just go ahead and hop out of there. Oops, sorry. So we just saw what was on the left-hand side with Project Server linking into Service Manager and providing that stream of information pretty real-time, within a minute, right? Let's do the same for Visual Studio and TFS. And this is a fun story because Visual Studio has a lot of capabilities, and there's different ideas and thought processes behind that, and I'll explain that to you here momentarily. We'll give it a second. So what you're looking at here is TFS. This is our build window, and our builds are a standard process within development where we go through and we execute some actions or automation or things of that nature to support the build itself. You'll see that the last item, create demo DB release record, is what we're going after. So we click the build button, and that launches the activities off in the background. So that little executable right there is going to go out to the different systems and start to integrate and populate information across. So you'll see we'll pop into, this is our self-service portal again from the service management side. We want to go out and look at the item that was created. So the build process actually created a release within Microsoft System Center Service Manager. You can tell, so look at the dates down there, the 12th and 19th. There's nothing scheduled on the 12th right now, but we'll come back here in a moment and take a look at that. So here we've got a list of our work, and this happens to be assigned. So this is our dev lead, Travis, who's doing this demo. It happens to be assigned to Travis, so he sees it there. We pull up the actual release itself, and that's what I just showed in the console just a moment ago. This just happens to be through the Cyrosyn release portal. And we've got all of our standard information, like scheduled start and end dates, activities, just like you saw a few moments ago. We've got these tests these are all test activities, test and release activities. So very straightforward. It doesn't matter what interface you're in, but here we happen to be in a portal interface that's accessible via your phone or whatnot. So here in a second, you'll hop back over and show us into our general tab. There we go. So there's our release. It's now been scheduled. So there's a release calendar itself. It's scheduled there on the 12th. And that happened, again, automatically. So as much as we can do to bring that information to the foreground. It's a little blurry. But there's our demo DB database release is scheduled for us. So that's fantastic. That's, you know, one less information hop that I'm going to have to go out and talk to my development team about, like, you know, when is this actually slated? It's going to show for us. Next is actually coming back in, and here's our portal. So from, and you saw this on Pete's demo as well, but from the portal, we can do things like request a feature. And request a feature, quite frankly, is something that goes to our development team all the time. So as a company, we use all these same tools. We're in Azure, and we need to be receptive of what our customers want as well. So in this case, somebody's requesting a feature. He's actually got it in the wrong box here. We'll let him fumble through that for a second. But the idea is they can say what product the feature is for. They can provide additional details or screenshots, like a file attachment. And when that's submitted, it's going to create a record within our IT operational system, service manager, called a service request. So that service request, in turn, is going to communicate to our back-end development team on Team Foundation Server. Visual Studio Online is what we're actually using there. So we'll let him get the first thing right here for a second. There we go. We created our service request. Now, here's the really cool stuff. You open the service request up, and you can view all the details that the user submitted. So you can see it's a feature request, what support group it's going to. In this case, it happens to be going to development. Same thing with activities or any of the other things that you saw earlier. But we've actually extended a little option here for TFS. So TFS, we have a workflow that it will take a feature request and send it over to that group. So we don't have to do any heavy lifting, or I don't have to email Travis and say, hey, add this feature to your backlog. It's done automatically for us. When it's synced, you actually see the ID come through. And if we hop back into TFS here, you'll be able to go and find this actual request within TFS. So that's what Travis is going to do. So it's real time. It's active. And, you know, I'll highlight real quick that it doesn't, require a lot of heavy lifting to do this type of integration, to do these steps. We of course, Cyrosyn and third-party other vendors have created, you know, accelerators for you or connectors for you, but this is stuff that your DevOps guys, your teams can do themselves as well. So we've got a nice little feature request here, and Travis actually put in a question, you know, hey, what is this? I need more information. And he did that in his native tool, TFS. So that discussion actually gets populated back into Service Manager. So if it was like our customers all the time, they make a request, that's going to be populated, and they're going to be notified, just like Pete was telling you a few minutes ago. So that analyst comment comes in, and again, it happens automatically. The end user can reply, and that'll update the entire cycle from start to finish. So it doesn't matter if it's a disparate system or whatnot. We get that information directly here. There we go. So there was the comment that he made in TFS, and that got emailed out to the customer, and life is good. I'm just going to fast forward. So that's the development side of the story. Just hop back in.
Great. Thanks for all the nice demos, Chris.
Thanks.
So the bottom line, System Center provides a lot of that fundamental capability. So if you have Configuration Manager today, you have Operations Manager, what you have there are two very rich data sources that give us a lot of data to bring into our CMDB. Service Manager is another foundational component that's going to take all of that disparate data from your System Center components and bring it together and establish some relationships. So your Config Manager data gets the overlay of the Ops Manager data. So the picture of what is a server or an application becomes a more interesting picture as we overlay those components. Whether you're using Microsoft's Orchestrator Automation Engine or maybe the newer Service Management Automation Engine, You have connectors that will allow us to use that self-service portal to drive those resource requests. And you know, I didn't see a lot of hands for automation, so that's a huge opportunity for the folks in this room that are already investing in System Center. That's one of the first the first steps we see folks taking in that DevOps direction, is trying to establish some agility and resource consumption and deployment. And if you don't take those steps, your users, your developers, are going to take those steps for you. Certainly, a majority of organizations today have found that, you know, when they're not adopting that sort of agility, that folks admit to going around them, to using SaaS applications like Amazon, like Azure, to get the resources they need to get stuff done. I mean, these aren't bad people. These are people that want to get their job done, right? So as IT ops, we've got a huge opportunity here. If you own System Center, you own most of these tools, and you can fill some of those small integration gaps with bridges from the System Center Alliance. So for those of you that don't have Service Manager, which is everybody, we absolutely encourage you to spin up, you know, two or three virtual machines, go download Service Manager, go out to Microsoft Virtual Academy in half a day. You can kind of knock through some videos that will help you deploy and begin to integrate in your environment, and then it's just a matter of time and practice and discussion. Do make sure that you stop by and see us to get your stamp. I think there's a pretty cool prize drawing coming very soon. I saw the Death Star itself out there. So hope you enjoyed the session. We appreciate your time, and we'll see you at the draw.
Thank you all.